Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are live at the Why Wait podcast, and this is your host Mugera alongside Coach Nana KKH. In a minute, I'll be introducing this big, beautiful man from Africa. But first, this is Fight, Plight, Strike. This is a brand new episode of the Pod and Stake, an idea by Coach Nana.
You already know, man. You already know what Coach, you say.
Welcome to the podcast, man.
Thank you for having me, bro.
Man, it's a big, big pleasure. It's been a while we're trying to do this, and I'm very happy that we are here today.
Yo, man, I'm telling you, man. The first time I heard you speak on your Instagram reel, I'm like, damn, man, we need to make this podcast happen, bro.
Yeah. So for those of you who might not know, I made a video, and then I was speaking in the background, and then Coach Nana came and talked to me about it, and he said that was good. One of the guys who actually talked to me about it, most of them never said a thing about it, so I think that's what makes you very different, Coach Nana.
Of course, man. Yo, for me, it's all about pushing each other. I mean,
for sure.
Motivating my brother, especially with you being an African, you understand the struggle and the hassle of being here, so... When I see somebody trying to make progress, I make sure I encourage the person. You know,
for sure, 100%. Now, if you're a new listener on this podcast, there is lots of episodes we've made in the past, and this is a brand new episode, which is again the Pod and Pod and Stake podcast. Well, the stake will be coming in a minute, but we'll talk about that later. But today. Is a plight, fight, strike. Now, Coach Nana is someone who obviously has experience in all those three things that we just talked about. So obviously, plight is a leaving, is a way people live, and they live in impoverished, poor backgrounds, or maybe they are under stress from societies, communities, but they're not living really well. And I know that for sure, Nana. You did not come from a very rich background.
I think with me, it was tough growing up. I mean, my parents, they did their best. They did their best, and they did their best to raise me up. It was a tough one. Eventually, my mom became very okay. She had a big shop, everything, and then things got a little bit on a downside slide a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For a couple of years, and there was a lot of struggle going on. And but life actually has been tough in a lot of ways.
How long have you lived in Dubai?
5 years now.
5 years now. Where are you from originally?
Ghana, man.
You're from Ghana?
Ghana, man.
So when I hear of Ghana, the only thing I know is Kumasi.
No, Kumasi?
Yeah.
Interesting enough, I'm an Ashanti. So Ashanti is our capital, is the Ashanti region. So Kumasi is supposed to be like our main place. You know what I mean?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But so Accra is the capital.
Accra is the capital of Ghana. But Kumasi, for me as an Ashanti,
yeah,
Kumasi is supposed to be where the real, as in for the Ashanti, that's our capital.
So Ashanti is, yeah. Bro. So hold on a second, man. Ashanti, there is an artist called Ashanti. You know that?
I know that, man. Listen, to the tennis.
Yeah.
Growing up, I don't know. I figured out I thought she might be related to the
Ghanaian or something. Yeah, for sure.
It could be possible. You don't know.
Very,
I mean, the slave trade messed up a lot of stuff. Bro. You never know, man.
It's possible, right?
Very possible. You know
so Ashanti, when you googled it up, she was never connected in any way to the.
You know what? The funny thing is, I've not even tried to Google her name up, but I feel like.
She could be.
She could have the
so fair enough. If you're not Ashanti, then what could you be if you're Ghanaian?
Well, we have a lot of tribes in Ghana, and I think I wouldn't say the main tribes. I would say the recognized tribes in Ghana are the Ashantis, the accounts. All right, let me try and break it down a little bit.
Yeah.
So the Ashantis and the Fantis, we all speak the same, kind of the same language.
Yeah.
So we all.
What's the language?
Tree. T-W-I.
T-W-I.
So
okay.
We all put under one umbrella called the Akan.
Akan.
Akan tribe.
Okay.
But within that Akan tribe, we have different tribes in there.
Right.
We all called Akan.
Right, right.
But they are among all of us, Akans, is the Ashanti tribe that's the strongest one.
Ashanti is the strongest of all.
Yeah.
Let me just justify that. Where is Thomas Partey from?
Partey, probably, he's a Ghan. He's from the Ghan tribe.
So he's not Ashanti?
He's not Ashanti, no.
Bro, if he's not Ashanti, then Ashanti is not the strongest of all.
No, I mean, if you check it out, I mean, from the Akan tribe, we have people like Michael Essien. So,
my nigga.
Of course.
Very strong guy, bro.
Because, when you look at history, the Ashantis have a recognized...
Where was this first president of Ghana?
Kwame Nkrumah. Kwame Nkrumah is an Akan.
He's an Akan.
He's an Akan, but as in the whole Akan, but this part is from, it's not Ashanti. It's from a different part of Akan.
Okay, great. So now this is very serious now. Jackie Appiah, where is he from? Is he from Akan?
Yeah.
He's Akan, yeah? He's Akan. I'm going to date myself an Akan girl, bro.
Jackie, just in case you hear this, this man
I'm looking for you, Jackie.
A big crush on you, man. He has a big crush on you. So I'm telling him, man, you are, I mean, I wouldn't say you are all about the dollars, but he needs to step up his game.
Oh, yo, bro, I got some money, bro. I got some money, bro. Jackie don't know about this. Bro, okay, back to business. So, when you were growing up, tell me a bit about your background back in Ghana. What you used to do growing up, and how was life? Was it a straight path? Was it struggle? And how you ended up here? So don't go too far deep when you get it, but just tell me about growing up.
Growing up was a bit challenging, and it was fun at the same time, because we used to be in street fights growing up. You know what I mean, I used to fight for my street.
Dude, hold on. Man, this is very, very bad, bro. We didn't introduce you. What you do.
Come on, man.
What you've done.
Come on, man.
Are you going to tell us what you do first before you tell us about all the right, street fights?
So, we apologize, guys.
Big apologies, big apologies.
Both of us got too caught up in the...
man. We're just too excited, man. We're just too excited.
So, the thing is, my name is Michael Adomako, or Michael Adomako. My African name is Nana Kwame.
Mm-hmm.
So, Coach Nana came about. I decided to call myself Coach Nana because I feel like I like being represented with my African name.
My nigga. That's what I keep telling everybody.
That's it.
Mugera.
More than my English name.
For sure.
Because there's a lot of Michael in Dubai. I mean, there's
100%. Thousands of Michael. Yeah, bro. I've never met a Nana. Never.
Come on, man.
And I think that's what identifies you to be, unique.
That's it.
I think we are robbed of our culture.
Of course.
When we get these English names and stuff like 100%. That, yeah.
So don't, no disrespect to the English culture, the British or all those guys who tried to capture us.
They
did capture us, man.
Yeah, they did, man.
A lot of us. Yo, by the way, no disrespect to them, but tennis, it's been years and years of brainwashing us from our history and all that. But the reason why I don't really talk too much about history is when you focus too much on history and you don't have a vision for the future, you get stuck in the middle.
When you focus too much on history,
what happened in the past, and you don't plan for the future, you get stuck in the middle. Well, you start blaming people for what has happened.
Yes, not to you. Yes, word.
Not to you, but to your great grandfather.
Because there's nothing you can do about the history, right? There's nothing you can do about it.
We just gotta learn from it.
Yeah. We just have to learn from what has happened in the past. That's not it. To do the same mistakes in the future.
But with that being said, it doesn't mean we shouldn't talk about it.
Nope. It should be addressed.
It should be addressed. It's supposed to remind us so we don't repeat the same mistakes again.
100%.
So the history is important.
100%.
But when you focus too much on it, without seeing where you're going, then you miss the point. I mean,
so you get stuck in the middle.
You get stuck in the middle.
That's a good line, bro. That's a really, really good line. Yeah, so you were telling us, Coach Nana.
Yeah, so, sorry, guys. Coach Nana from Ghana. He runs really good, right?
Yeah, for sure. Coach Nana from Ghana.
Coach Nana from Ghana, man.
All right, so, roll us back a few years ago before you go here. About your school days, about the walks you did, what you street fights and stuff you did before you came to Dubai.
Yeah, so,
and why you came to Dubai eventually.
Yeah, so growing up was a tough one and very exciting. Big shout out to my parents. They did great. My siblings, my friends, those who didn't like me. I mean, it's all part of the journey. By the way,
for sure.
Growing up, it was a tough one where. We had to struggle a little bit. Sometimes I get into street fight for no reason, just cause I was representing my hood.
Oh, really, bro?
Just to go fight with the guy in the next hood.
Bro, seriously?
Yeah.
No kidding?
And the street fight where we're doing it, it's like, we have adults organized that street fight. What was my age by then? I think I was like 12 or something, yeah? 12 or 13. So, I was very good at street fight. So, street fight, in this junction with the guy in the next place, yo, let's make it happen. So the adult, they set it up, we meet somewhere and then we make it happen. So, I mean, those kind of stuff.
No, hold on a second, man. What was the name of your village where you grew up?
No, I mean, I actually grew up in Accra, the capital city.
Accra, you grew up in the capital, bro. Everything you're talking about happened in the capital.
But see, Accra has the hood part of Accra.
No? Yeah, so like, yeah.
So Accra is the capital where the capital has everything. But then I grew up in the hood. I mean, where the hood is like.
Okay, so in that hood, what's the name of the area? I really want to be very particular.
I think it's called Agege.
Agege.
We moved around a little. So,
yeah.
So let's say Old Dansuman.
Old Dansuman,
yeah.
Old Dansuman is the area, is the hood where everything is happening. So, you are part of a group, and this group does not really fancy the other group. They have problems between them.
Yeah, but see, it's not really about groups. It's like we're all in the same neighborhood. But then, I'm on like block A, and this guy is on block B. So the adults come together, you're like, yo, what you say? You gonna fight the guy in block B? I'm like, yo, let's make it happen.
My nigga, are you telling me that just because the other guy lives in block B, there's gonna be a fight?
No.
This fight, was it based on beef?
It was different. Perhaps some beef may happen while you play football and stuff. But sometimes the fight is more about, you know, when people, there's a lot of debate. Yo, I think this guy can fight with this guy.
And then there is a debate. Can Nana beat the other guy? Can the other guy beat Nana?
And then you're like, so one time I remember my sister was in the balcony, right?
Okay.
She was cooking or something with my brother, and then one time these adults called me from the window, like, yo, let's go, man. So I put my shorts on, and I just opened the door, walked straight to the street. And then we made it happen.
What, bro? You were not prepared for the fight, but it was going to happen anyway. Is this what you're saying?
I don't know how to explain this, but
did they just set you up?
No, I don't know how to explain. But the other guy was already there, and I knew the other guy would be there, but I didn't know the exact time he would be there. so when you go,
bro, you ambushed. You ambushed, bro.
Tell me. Yeah. So. I'm sorry, guys, man. My voice is a bit off, though. So when they called me from the window, you're like, yo, what you saying? I'm like, yo, let's do it. They put my shorts on. I went straight to the street.
I'm a fucking man. What the fuck is all this, man? So okay, yeah, go on. Yo, go
so
on.
Sorry, guys. So this one is just by the way. Anyway, so there's been a couple of street fighter stuff. We lost some. We won a lot of them. But eventually, all these guys became friends, close friends and stuff. And the thing is,
what was your biggest fight, if you can recall, as a child growing up, 14, 15? And when was the last time you ever fought a street fight? So you just got to go into this. When was the last time you had a street fight? What was the biggest fight you had then? And what was your biggest win? What I believe your biggest fight was your biggest win, could be the biggest loss. What was your biggest win? What was your biggest loss?
With respect to street fight, I've not actually lost in a street fight.
No shit, bro.
No, but I've not lost. But I fought, because when I was around 12 years old, I was fighting with 16, 18 guys. I mean,
yeah.
So perhaps those guys were trying to hustle me a little bit.
Bro, but they were
bigger than me.
They were bigger than you?
Yeah, but when I was a kid, I don't know, man. I used to be in a lot of watching martial arts movies and stuff. So I used to be throwing some kicks and stuff. You know?
Yeah.
So even though they were bigger than me, they were a little bit scared of me, you know what I mean? In a way.
Yeah.
So, so back to your question. Street fight-wise, losing to a street fight, not really happening. So what I normally do is, I examine who I'm going to fight with. If I feel what I'm going to fight, I cannot do it.
Yeah,
I pull back.
Really, bro?
I'm not gonna pull back like, oh, I'm sorry. No. I just find a way to find a solution to it. If you feel me,
man. What do you mean by that?
Arsene, if let's say something happens and we fight over something about football or something, and one guy throws a punch and I dodge and I punch him back and I realize he has a lot of crowd behind him,
mm-hmm.
I just thought, yo, calm down, let's find a solution to this instead of making a big mess.
Yeah. That's it. Okay, so you solve the problem man to man rather than getting into a fight that you know might be a bit more.
I mean, so back then, solving that problem was the last option.
Yeah. But fighting was the first one.
The first one.
You have to be aggressive.
Fighting the first one. Talking about the second one.
Oh, fucking hell, man.
Find a solution to it, the third one.
As that changed, have things changed over time? Do you think that now you talk before you fight, or you fight?
No. I mean, I think growing up, I'm also an ex-kickboxer. I did a lot of martial arts growing up, taekwondo, a little bit of karate here and there. So I did kickboxing, a little bit of boxing, Muay Thai. I lived in Thailand close to 8-10 months.
Yeah.
So with all this discipline that I learned along the way to now, it kind of prevented me from acting crazy sometimes.
Wow.
It disciplines you. Now that's one of the beautiful things about martial arts. It actually disciplines you, because normally in a real fight, you can just kill someone.
Yeah, for real, man.
Because when I stand with someone who's not a skilled fighter, I can kill him if I want to. I can punch him in the throat or something.
Just one punch.
Punch him in the throat, or I kick him in the ball and throw him off the balcony or something.
Shit, man.
Yeah, I mean, it gets scary when you're fighting with a skilled fighter. But the martial arts discipline us. And the funny thing is, since I started doing martial arts, I've hardly been in street fights.
Yeah?
I find a solution to it before the fight comes up.
So, when did you start doing martial arts?
I think I started doing it, maybe 14, 15 years ago.
14, 15 years ago?
Yeah, that was when I started doing it as a kid.
Hey, dude, man, you say 14, 15 years ago, you make it look like you're too old, man. And you look young, man.
I try.
So, 15 years of experience. So, when you did martial arts, you mentioned while we're talking now, that you've lived in Thailand for 8 months, is it? 8 months, so...
8 to 10 months, I remember correctly.
8 to 10 months, so... Was that the time you started learning martial arts, or it was way before that in Ghana?
No. Way before that. Way before that, because growing up, we had a lot of, so my hood had a lot of gangs around there.
Right.
Where we kind of looked up to them, and we learned from them. Mm. So we learned the street fight from them. We learned the martial arts from them. So growing up, we learned things as we grew up. Eventually, I got into taekwondo. I got a red belt in taekwondo. I competed in national competitions. I did a little bit of boxing, and I got into more kickboxing, and then the Muay Thai, and then MMA.
Yeah.
I was one of the pioneers of MMA in Ghana.
Really, bro?
Yeah, we started the whole MMA event in Ghana.
That's serious, man. So where do you think MMA is right now in Ghana without you guys?
I think it's growing. It's evolving. There's a lot of sponsors coming in and stuff. Now it's more recognized in Ghana, because Ghana, we are not known for MMA. We are known for more of boxing and kickboxing, but more for boxing.
Oh, really, bro? Yeah. I haven't heard of any Ghanaian boxers, man.
Come on, man. We got a lot of boxers out bro. There. Come on, man. We got it. We got the legend, Azuba Nelson. Much respect to him. Azuba Nelson is in the Boxing Hall of Fame. We have Joshua Kroto. We have Agbeko. We have DK Poison, who was a world champion. Agbeko world champion. Joshua Kroto.
Pardon my ignorance, man. I'm so ignorant about who are these guys.
No, God, Joshua Kroto, he fought with Manny Pacquiao. And we have I Kroto, who fought with Oscar De La Hoya.
For real, bro?
Come on, man.
These guys are fighting on world stage?
Yeah, world stage, man. Ghana is a country known for boxing.
Oh, that's nice. Absolutely nice. But
we actually have a whole neighborhood.
Bro, Ghana is
known. We have a whole neighborhood.
Ghana is known for more.
Everybody knows how to box.
Bro, Ghana is known for beautiful girls and football, bro. Not boxing, bro.
Yes. Well, perhaps that's what you think. No. The unfortunate thing about it is, the boxing is just on one side of it. It's just like, if this Ghana map is, if I could just draw the Ghana map,
yeah,
the boxing is just like...
Oh, it's in a certain area. People area box or, come from a certain area.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And the perception is the perception is, if you're a boxer, then probably you're a school dropper.
Oh, so yeah, you didn't get good education or something like that.
Yeah, because the guys from the hood are the guys who are doing the boxing.
But bro, is that right though? Isn't it right? Because I believe it could be right, because most times when you're growing up as a child, your parents think you need to go to school. But if they cannot afford school, then you find other means of earning a living. Mm. And most cases, when you can't earn a living as a young child, sometimes you might end up in violence. Mm. And then probably out of violence, you start learning that you have skills. Mm. And those skills, you start applying them professionally, which could be MMA or boxing, to maybe earn a living from that. I think that makes sense. Is that the case? What do you think?
No, it does make sense, Bazi. It makes sense a lot, mostly in Europe or America or somewhere outside Africa, perhaps in South Africa or something. Because the thing about Africa is, we lack sponsorship. They see the boxing as a school dropout kind of thing. It doesn't mean the boxing there's no money in it, but they feel like they don't address it as much as they need to. It brings a lot of recognition to Ghana, but they don't address it as much as it needs to.
It brings a lot of recognition to Ghana, the boxing.
Yeah.
Okay, does. Fair enough. Now, when did you move to Thailand?
Yeah, so I think I moved to Thailand in 2014 or something.
2014?
Yes, I believe so. 2014, yeah.
So it's pretty much close to 8 years ago or something, right? So was it?
I think eight years. Yes, 8 years.
Is it? My mathematics is not great, bro. But yeah, so yeah, it sounds like years, 8 years ago. Yeah. So it was Ghana, Thailand, Dubai.
No. So the move was were fighting in Ghana, I was part of the national team. I was privileged to part of the national team.
So, wow.
In Ghana.
A team for?
The Ghana kickboxing team.
Wow. Bro, that is...
I was part of the national team.
That is great, man. That is great.
Thank you. Thank you, bro. So, we were actually choosing a colleague of mine who's also here as a trainer. It's called Samson. He's also here as a trainer. He's also a coach here.
Yeah.
So we were selected among some of our peers, and we were supposed to go to Thailand to represent Ghana in the fight.
Mm.
So we went there. He went before I did. I think 2 weeks later, I joined him. So we went there. So long story short, we went there. The go fight and come back event ended up being a 10-month stay.
What?
Yeah.
How is that even possible?
Well, because we got there and we realized we were actually good. We knew how to fight. We can actually, excuse my word, we can.
Dude, you serious? Because I always thought that Thai guys are really good at fighting.
No, the Thai guys are amazing. They're really good. Don't get me wrong. They are the real pioneers of kickboxing and Muay Thai and all that. But we realized we're from the hood. I mean, so the blood runs through us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you black and black. I mean, when I'm in the ring and our boxing too came as a bigger advantage for us.
Yeah.
Their boxing is not that great. So our boxing came as a bigger advantage for
us. These guys are lighter. They are lighter.
They kick
quick.
Really good.
Are they quick or quicker?
Very quick.
Yes.
Very quick. So like my first fight. Sorry, guys. So like my first fight. The guy kicked me and I'm like, what the fuck?
Bro.
The guy kicked me in my... So, you know when you're fighting, right? Your guard is up, you like this, right? So, the guy kicked me on my hand, right?
Yeah.
The first thought that came to mind, I'm like, what the fuck did I just get myself into, man? And he kicked me again.
Before you could process the first kick, you already received another one.
Bro, and I'm like, guys, I just have to use this word. I'm like, fuck it, let's go all out. And I started punching. Bam, 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 bam. Because the boxing, we did more boxing. So, we actually good at boxing.
Bam, 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 bam.
And the next minute, this guy's down.
Yeah,
and I'm like, what the fuck is happening? This guy just knocked someone out.
This is the guy who was kicking you earlier. And then he's down now.
I just knocked someone out. That's my first fight in Thailand.
Yeah,
and I'm like, whoa. So my colleague Samson went before me, and he fought on the same night as me, right? So he won his first fight, and I won my second one, and we're like,
This is actually happening. This is actually happening.
We're
good at this.
We are good at training.
Yeah.
So, to not make the story a little bit boring, at the long run, we had a title shot, a world title shot.
Wow.
We got that good where we had a world title shot.
How long is this? Like 1 month or 2 months before you guys get a title shot?
I believe it took us... 3 to 4 months to get a title shot. Because between that 3 to 4 months, we were fighting almost every 2 weeks.
Who's taking care of your bills and everything while you guys
are in there? So much respect to one of my big brothers. I'll call him a big brother because he gave me a different perspective, a bigger perspective of how we could actually make money off the kickboxing and not just assume that it's just a training routine. You know what I mean? Lawrence, it's called Lawrence. Lawrence, I believe he's a coach in Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah. He sponsored the flight. He paid for our ticket and our food and money and everything. So we got there, and then from there we started hustle for our own thing. So.
Wow. Bro. Are you telling me they dropped you in Thailand,
and that's it,
with maybe a few bucks on you, or maybe not even no money, and you started hustling without anyone you knew in Thailand? How many were you guys too? You and your friend?
So, my friend went with a coach from Ghana, but the coach left him a week before, a couple of days before I got there. He left him and came back to Ghana. So, I think that was my first time traveling. I went to Ghana. I went to Thailand on my own.
Damn, bro.
That's crazy, man.
Bro.
It's crazy.
So, what was the experience like? You landed in Thailand. No, how old are you at the time?
How old was I, man? In Thailand,
that's
think
like
I was,
8 years ago.
Yeah, 8 years. I think I was in my 25 or something, man.
Bro, so you land in Thailand, 25-year-old, you have nowhere to go.
I have nowhere, my first time traveling, and I didn't know no one, and I was even lost in the airport. I saw so many stuff to look at.
I know, right? New stuff, yeah.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Coming.
I got lost. I even got lost in the airport. Eventually, this coach, the coach we were staying with, the Thailand coach,
yeah,
he came to pick me up. So, man, like, the journey in Thailand has been beautiful, man. Thailand is a country where the people are loving. I mean, they are a little bit too much sometimes.
What do you mean by too much?
I mean, the female, like, yeah. You see a female, you want to talk to her, and then the female has... the female has a mountain, I mean... A female has a mountain, and then you're like,
my nigga,
what the hell is going on? You know what I mean?
Bro, but I would think, since you've lived in Thailand for a long time, you should be used to that, man. You should know that that's going to happen.
No. The makeup they do and the plastic surgery they do, if you think Dubai has plastic surgery going on here, Thailand is way, way worse.
Bro, are you telling me that there is more people like that than actual normal people? Like,
no, there are normal people. There are women out there.
Yeah.
Which you're going to see them, but you cannot... You need to make sure you watch them closely to see that this girl, is a man. Because sometimes some people, they can't afford to do the expensive surgeries.
Okay.
So they just put on makeup. So you can see from their cheekbones.
Here's a funny one, bro. You've lived in such an environment. Mm. Would you go to a washroom and when you're there in a washroom, all of a sudden, someone who looks like a woman comes through the male washroom because he's male? Is it possible?
It has never happened to me, but I'm sure if it did happen, I'll kick the guy. But in Thailand, everything is possible in Thailand.
Everything is possible in Thailand. Whatever happens in Thailand stays in Thailand.
Whatever happens in Thailand. Thailand is a beautiful country. Thailand is just like a world on its own.
I know, man. People are having fun down there in Thailand. Yeah.
Bro, Thailand, when I went there, it was cheap as hell. And the place is cheap. And the rules kind of, it favors everyone though. But the system in Thailand has been made in a way that the people there can better benefit. People have a couple of, how should I say it? Incentives from the government where they can get new phones and better houses.
Are you serious, man?
I'm telling you, bro.
Wow.
But then some people don't live in those houses. They rent it out to the foreigners.
To get money.
Because that's how they get their money.
I see.
So they have a big house, a villa, but they are living a small one.
Bro, what about this, what is it called? I think there's a popular place called Phuket. Is it?
Phuket. Oh, okay, my yeah? word, bro. Bro, the memories in Phuket, yeah. Man. Yo, if anyone has been to Thailand and you've been to Phuket, then
they know.
You already know, man.
They already know.
You already know.
They already
Phuket,
know, bro.
Phuket, and there's one called Koh Samui or something. Chiang Mai, Pattaya.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
A deep shit, bro.
I mean. Things that happen in Thailand stays in Thailand.
There you go, man.
Thailand,
okay,
man.
So Thailand happens. Where do you go back? You go back to Ghana?
Yes. So the move was Thailand got really exciting, and I think that's where my coaching actually took off. Because the coach there, he said, yo, stay with me for a while. I'll make you guys fight a lot. So we're fighting for him, and he was paying us some good money.
Right.
And we started to train clients. So the experts come in, and then we're helping him to train the clients. Mm-hmm. And he realized we're actually good. So he was teaching us the right way to train the clients.
Okay.
So I remember correctly, he actually taught us how to train clients in the right way.
Muay Thai.
Muay Thai in the right way. Yeah, we learned a lot from him, and yeah.
Okay, so then you go to Ghana.
So the move was, there was a UK fight that came up, and we were like, "Yo, guys, come back to Ghana, because we learned a lot of new stuff." Well, when we came back, we were able to compete with the top level, with our seniors, the top level guys in Ghana.
Wow, that's good.
Because we were like, you know when you watch this, what's this Japanese cartoon thing, or the name of it?
Cartoon?
Yeah, Japan animation, Dragon Ball Z.
Dragon Ball Z?
Yeah. Have you watched it?
No, bro. So there's a lot of Japanese cartoons, man.
Yeah, so Dragon Ball Z is like when you get charged up and stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we came back charged up. We looked even like the ties, you know what I mean?
Bro, so because you guys were training and eating well. And
training every single day.
Every day.
Morning, evening, 2 to 3 hours every day.
Are you serious, man?
Morning, 2 hours, evening, 3 hours.
You have to change, man.
Every single, bro. That was the time I was the most fittest guy ever, man, for like 8 to 10 months, every single day. I'm telling you, man.
Yeah.
We were drinking our beers and stuff. Tatala is like that. Like, we train, we drink. But you don't go like, "Oh, coach, I'm tired." No, you don't do that.
You have to put in the work.
You gotta get up and go for a run.
You have to put in the work.
Thailand, it was like that. So anyway, long story short,
you go back to Ghana. You have to compete in the UK.
The UK, we go back to Ghana, and then there's a couple of delays with the documentation and stuff. So I got stuck in Ghana, which wasn't such a great idea for me at that moment. And then I joined the Ghana team back. To train as a fighter. I had the opportunity to travel to Cameroon. I was selected as one of the best fighters from Ghana to travel to Cameroon for an event. So it was Cameroon versus Africa. So I actually represented Ghana in that event.
Okay.
Which was a good one. So after that event, a couple of traveling around here and the other countries and stuff in Africa, and then
so how do you move from there to end up to Dubai? How does
Dubai move? We have a team here in Dubai. One of my seniors, a couple of my seniors, they've been here for like 10-15 years now.
Yeah,
so they message a colleague of mine who is also an ex-fighter. He's called Champ. He message Champ and they're like, "Yo, a guy wants to build a gym in Dubai. Are you interested to come?" So Champ at that time was married, and he said, "No, you know what? Let me get in touch with me." So my fight name is Tago. That's my fight name.
Tago.
Tago means the strong man. He said, "Let me get in touch with Tago." So we are able to. We link him up to come.
Right.
Anyway, so long story short, the time they came to inform me about it, I was all set to come, but then I had bigger stuff going on. I was training some of the big men in Ghana, making lots of money. I'm like, why would I even want to go to the desert and just start all over again? You know what I mean?
So
I made a colleague. We recommended a colleague to come, and then the following year, I'm like, you know what? It's time to move. Out of Ghana again.
Try something new, yeah.
So I gave my client over. The gym guy got in touch with me again. And then it's been 5 years now.
Bro, so I go back a little bit by 5 years ago.
Yeah.
When you land in Dubai, what happens? Where do you go? How do you go about your business? Mm. And how do you find the place? And how you've managed to get where you are right now?
So when I landed in Dubai, my gym was actually in Fujairah. I don't know whether you know. You've been to Fujairah, right?
I've been to Fujairah, man.
Yeah, so my gym was actually in Fujairah. A very big shout out to Ahmed, the gym owner. Thank you very much, bro. I always say, man, we've had our differences, but you know me, man. I keep it 100%. If it wasn't you, probably I wouldn't be here. So thank you very much. And the gym is called Cage Fitness. Amazing gym, man.
Cage
Fitness.
Wow.
Amazing gym. So he put me out there, and when I got here, the class and the quality of workout I did, the people, they were all blown away.
Wow.
Bro, they were blown away. I nailed it completely. And from there, Fujera, a year later, I started doing personal training in Dubai. So I was speaking, I think a couple of months later, maybe 6-7 months later, I started doing personal training in Dubai. I was picking the bus from Fujera to Dubai.
Brother, hold on a second, man. So you are working in Fujera at a gym called Cage Fitness. Mm. And you started getting clients
in Dubai. Yeah.
In Dubai. Mm. Why Dubai? Did you want to move to Dubai?
The initial plan was not to move to Dubai, because I love the view of Dubai, but I saw Dubai to be, my mind wasn't ready for Dubai, because I saw it to be a place where if you're not mentally strong or stable,
right,
you're gonna get lost in the fun part of it.
Word, bro. That's word. That's serious,
so,
man. Yeah, serious.
I had to stay in Fujera a little bit, get my mind prepared a lot before I move here.
So you took the bus from Fujera to Dubai to coach a client and go back.
Yeah. In time for my class in Fujera.
What time was the client? I need to get this right. So what time were you training the client in Dubai?
So this is actually a very interesting story.
Yeah.
A lot of people wouldn't believe me if I say this is my story. So this client of mine, Roy and Alex, they were paying me 250 dirham. Okay. So that was my first time getting 250 dirham. I'm like, wait, what?
Wait,
that's a lot of money.
Yeah, I know, right?
Come. My first time was in Blue Waters. That was the first time going to Blue Waters. So I picked a taxi because I didn't know where I was going. From Fujera to Blue Waters, I'm like, okay, I'm here.
Well, the taxi is like 300 dirhams, man.
That time was like maybe 5 years ago, maybe 150 or something, right?
Okay.
So I'm like, yo, I'm here. What you guys saying? I paid for taxi. I'm good. Show me around. This is the gym and everything. So I liked it. So I figured out how to get my way. How to find a way to Blue Waters.
No. Blue Waters was not there 5 years ago. It was under construction.
No, bro. Blue Waters.
Yeah.
No. Wait.
It could Blue be. Waters. I might be wrong, bro.
Wait.
It could be. Could have been there, but this Dubai Eye was just recently opened. But
the Eye was opened like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Blue Waters was there.
Okay, so Blue Waters.
Like I said, within a few months, I started with the Blue Waters. So I think maybe in the first year or maybe the second year, but Blue Waters was there. Okay. It was already
so
open.
4 years ago, Caesar's Palace was there and stuff. You might be right. Probably not. So you came from Fujera. How long does it take? How's the bus ride? How long is the bus ride?
The crazy thing about Fujera is it takes like 2 hours to get to Dubai.
That's right.
So I have a class at 8 in the morning, 7:38. So I wake up at 4 a.m. sometimes, okay? And I picked the bus. I took a picture of the time of the bus, right? So I picked the bus. A lot of people don't know this, though. I picked the bus from where I was in Fujera, all the way to Rashidiyya. That's that kind of, I figured out all this train movement out.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. All the way to Rashidiyya. And then
you take the train.
I take the train to DMCC.
DMCC.
Marina. Get down Marina.
Take a taxi.
Take a taxi. If I'm running late. Almost all of those, I'll take the tram to the
JBR2.
JBR2.
Yeah, JBR2. Yeah.
Top of the thing.
Yeah, that walk is like 10-15 minutes
to Blue Waters,
bro. So 2 hours in the bus, 1 hour for sure in the train, 20 minutes stops with the walk plus the tram too. So you put like another 10-15 minutes for the changing and the stuff, bro. We're looking at a good solid 3 hours of travel.
Yeah,
this is back and forth, because you have to go to and back. 6 hours.
6 hours. Sometimes the funny thing is, if it was beyond my control sometimes, because the bus delays a lot. Sometimes they're gonna stop here, somebody is doing some weird stuff on the bus.
Bro,
you know what I mean? It happens sometimes. You know how the bus is, man. These guys are crazy. So so the funny thing about the
Yeah. I gotta tell you. We're like weird stuff. What do you mean by weird stuff, bro?
I mean, people just act weird. People are like, oh, I just wanna stop here. Why the hell you wanna? Why would you wanna stop in the desert, bro? I don't get it, man.
You're telling me we're in a bus, we're moving from Fujairah, we're going to Dubai, and right in the middle, maybe after like 90 kilometers or something, this guy says, "I wanna stop here. I wanna get out of the bus."
That's it. I know. And a couple of people are fighting, and why are you getting down here? I'm like, yo, allow this motherfucker to just get out so we get out. So, bro, the fucked up thing about the story is, listen, man, I tell people, the fucked up thing about the story is, it was sometimes the bus, I also need the timing for the bus here in the Union, right?
Yeah.
Because that's where I picked the Fujairah bus back.
Yeah.
The reason why I get down in Rashidiyah, because when the bus goes to Union, the train from Rashidiyah to Union is already full.
The train from Rashidiyah to Union
is already full, because that's where the train starts.
Bro. Okay, yeah, from Rashidiyah to Union.
It's already full. So I get that Rashidiyah when I'm coming from Fujairah with the bus. Or what I do is, when I'm coming back, I get that from Union. That's where the bus station is.
Yes.
You feel me? And I pick the bus back to Fujairah.
Yes.
Then the crazy thing is, I was doing this for over 2 years without a car.
Bro.
Okay.
What?
Over 2 years without a car.
You only had this one client?
I had one. He had one guy to it, I think, after a year or something. I was doing this without one client. Let's say close to a year, and I was getting only 50 dirhams. And sometimes less than that, because I got to eat. And I need to have extra on me just in case I'm running late and I pick a taxi for me. Sometimes I come back and I have like 20 to 10 dirhams. Because I need to, my class in Fujairah starts at, Ahmed, forgive me, man. You didn't know about this side hustle, man. You thought I was home sleeping, but I was in Dubai.
Hustling.
So I was doing it close to 2 years. Sometimes I come back and there's nothing. No money. There's nothing left. But I kept on doing it because I saw a bigger picture in it. I knew eventually I'll move to Dubai, or eventually I'll quit my job, because my contract was like 2 years, right?
Yeah.
I knew eventually I'll quit the job, but I just wanted to do it because for the love of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was in 2019 where I said to myself, I can't be doing this, man. This up and down stuff. I need to get a car. 31st of December 2019. A lot of people who know me will know that on the 31st of December, I don't go out. I give excuses. The reason being is I'm a Christian. So what we normally do is, it's not too much of a religious thing. What I normally do is, I sit by myself down, assess how my year went, pray about it, and see how best I can improve in the next year.
Bro, so you're telling me